Yesterday, Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison added a second-degree murder charge to the counts against former Minneapolis cop Derek Chauvin. He also announced that the other three officers are facing accomplice-type charges in addition to Derek Chauvin. Joining us now, lawyer extraordinaire, the man we turn to and flash the bat signal up anytime we've got questions on stories like this, Jeff O'Brien. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for giving us a few minutes this morning. Your gut reaction yesterday when you heard about the revision in the charges against Derek Chauvin and the additional charges against the other officers.
I'm not surprised that now that the Attorney General Keith Ellison is on the case that they did this and added this additional count. There was talk of it before that, but this is what a politician does to, you know, play to an audience. This is not what pleading counts that you can win. And that was, you know, you can say what you want about Mike Freeman, but when he pled murder three and man two, that's exactly what was charged in the Muhammad Noor case, and they got a conviction on it. Now the third degree murder charge is being appealed, but you know, Freeman originally charged this in a way that he thought that his office could get a conviction. That's what prosecutors do.
Right.
Ellison is playing political theatrics here. And I listened to the press conference. I said, you know, second degree murder, just so everybody understands, there's an intent aspect. There's a number of different ways you can have second degree murder. But when you talk, the criminal complaint charges unintentional second degree murder. That's felony murder. You murder somebody while you're in the commission of another felony. This is what typically happens if someone's going to rob a convenience store and they shoot and kill the clerk. That's felony murder. That's second-degree murder. I listened to some reporter asked the question at the press conference yesterday, what is the underlying felony? And Ellison's response was assault. And I was baffled by that. And there's no mention of assault now in the statement of probable cause. And I don't know that we all understand that the officer used excessive force in restraining George Floyd. I don't know if you look at the four degrees of assault in the state, two of them actually reference about actions toward a police officer, not by a police officer. This is a moonshot to try to get second degree murder.
Well, this falls in line with what we said yesterday, and that was, you know, if you want to see justice for the death of George Floyd, you don't want Keith Ellison running this. And so this feels like, I'll just lay this out real quick, this feels like a move that's actually designed to fail, right? It feels like Ellison won't get the conviction. And normally that would look bad under normal circumstances. Normally, right, you're in charge of a case like this where you have the public demanding justice and you don't get the conviction, then that rests on you and your failure. However, right now, I believe that they believe, and Ellison believes, and he might be right, that they have already won the case and the public has already decided the verdict in the court of public opinion, right? They've already decided that part of this is racism. Part of this is systemic to a problem that runs through America right now. And so Ellison doesn't really care if he wins or loses because he knows that regardless, he's going to come out of this looking good because he won't have failed. The system will have failed. And that's why I feel like you're right. He did it politically because he knows he can just fall back. Well, we did what we were supposed to do, but the system failed us and it gives him more power to try to go and change that system.
Yeah, I think you're right, James. They did the second count is still the third degree murder charge, so they could still a jury still could convict on a third degree murder charge. But even that's difficult. There's a very good piece at thedispatch.com by a Mitchell Hamlin School of Law professor that before the upgraded charges were announced that talks about the difficulty in getting a criminal conviction on the murder charge, and he points to if anybody has read the criminal complaint, the statement of probable cause references that Floyd was saying he couldn't breathe before they put him in the car. That's going to be a tough piece of evidence,
yeah,
for the prosecution to prove a murder charge. You're right. John's right. I mean, he could be pushing for some sort of change in the criminal code here so that there's going to be easier in the future to charge a police officer with murder.
Question here from a listener via Twitter, at MN Booyah, asks, ask lawyer Jeff why the cop on Floyd's back didn't get the same murder two or even three charge. The autopsy, I believe, said Floyd could have died from either neck or back compression.
That's a good question. I thought about the same thing, that when I saw the, they talk about the back compression, I thought at least, you know, the other three only got aiding and abetting. I thought they might at least get that, the cops that were kneeling on his back and applying pressure might at least get the manslaughter too, the second degree manslaughter. Mm-hmm. So I was I was a little bit surprised by that. I don't know why what the reason was, in terms of why they were only charged with aiding and abetting. It could be, I know there was some discussion about at the scene, the report talks about they were asking Chauvin if they should turn him on his side, and he was saying no. So I don't know if that somehow justified the lesser charges. I don't know what the decision was behind the scenes, but I had that same question.
Let's go to the phones, and we will talk with Chuck, correctly dialed 651-989-5855 to Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew. What's your question for our lawyer, Jeff O'Brien?
Well, I saw on the in the paper that he's charged with second degree, third degree, and then that other assault. If second and third degree is still going to be on the charging documents, what goes to the jury and what can they decide? In other words, it's not a risk to charge second degree murder if you leave third degree murder with the jury, in my view. That's what I'm trying to figure out with the lawyer.
Jeff, did you get that?
Yeah, and you know that's why I think adding the second degree murder charge was more political than anything else, because he did have the fallback. He can send the second degree, the third degree, and the second degree manslaughter, all those counts to the jury, because the second degree murder is talking about an unintentional act, well, in commission of a felony, but then the third degree murder charge is more of a, you talk about depraved mind and negligently causing causing the death of another with, eminently dangerous act evincing a depraved mind. So there's different criteria for each of these counts. So they can send all three of these counts to the jury, and if the jury comes back with murder three and man two, then Ellison can pat himself on the back and say they got a conviction, even if they don't get the conviction on man two or murder two.
Are there any other pitfalls for the prosecution that jump out at you from what we've seen and what we've learned so far? It's this conviction, I mean, there's a lot that hinges on it, and there's a lot of pressure on Keith Ellison. There's a lot of pressure on the Attorney General's office, because I think we're all nervous about what will happen if there is no conviction, specifically in Chauvin's case, but truly all four.
I would say the two other pitfalls. Number one, if they're assuming that this is going to be tried in Hennepin County, I think they're mistaken. I think Chauvin's attorneys are going to claim that he can't get a fair trial because of all that's gone on, and will ask to have it venued somewhere. It won't be Hennepin or Ramsey County. I'm thinking it's going to be either Dakota or Washington County. So that's one issue. If Ellison's expecting to get the residents of Minneapolis to be on the jury, this could prove a problem. The other issue is the Attorney General himself. I remember 20 years ago, there was a Republican running for Attorney General who was going to be tough on crime, and the Democrats and the media criticized him harshly, saying that the Attorney General doesn't prosecute crimes. They're consumer affairs and, they're civil cases. So he's a fish out of water on this. He hasn't practiced law since, I don't know when, before he was in Congress. And he's playing with fire here. I'm happy to see that the Hennepin County Attorney's office is still staying involved with this, because Mike Freeman is a career prosecutor. Keith Ellison is not. So turning this into a political show trial, could have disastrous results for everyone.
Well, and like we talked about, I mean, this is all, you're 100% right. This is all style over substance. This is somewhat appeasement for the individuals that were wanting to do this. Ellison knows this is going to raise his profile further than ever he could have ever dreamed before.
And we all know what a narcissist he is.
Right. And I don't know if we were given some anonymous information, and I'm sort of asking this on the air of whether or not anonymously we shared that particular information via text that you shared with me last night with regard to Ellison and the announcement. As Drew goes into his phone, I want to and I tell you what, Drew, while you look for that,
let's actually take the call because this is more important. Let's go to Rob Dorr, friend of the show. He's got a question for lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. Rob, Jeff, go at it.
All right. Well, I've got two questions. One is Jeff, I think it's spot on with the second degree charge just being for show, because I think that, you know, they're saying that assault was an underlying felony, but they didn't charge him with assault. So I'm wondering if that's common, that if you're saying that there was an underlying felony for a second degree murder charge, that you didn't actually charge him with the underlying felony. That's my first one.
I don't think it would, given that you're dealing with the death of somebody, I don't think you have to charge them with assault in the criminal complaint, but I would have at least expected some sort of a fact pattern in the statement of probable cause,
right,
laying out the elements of assault or mentioning the assault as the felony, the underlying felony that got you to the second degree murder charge.
Yeah, and when I was watching the press conference, it looked like he just like came up with that off the top of his head, like he hadn't thought about it.
I had the same impression. It was like deer in the headlights, assault.
And then the second one is for the other three officers, for the aiding and abetting. Aiding and abetting requires intent. Do you think that they're just throwing the protesters, the rioters, another bone here by charging these officers? Because I think even their own statement of probable cause says that they asked Chauvin to roll them over. I mean, I don't think that shows intent to murder. I think it shows exactly the opposite. Thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was a little bit. I was surprised that they only charged him with aiding and abetting second-degree murder. Again, I thought, given that two of the other officers were involved with pinning him down on his back, and the other one just stood there.
Jeff, we're going to put you on hold. We have a few more people calling in that have questions for you, talking with our lawyer extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien. As we go to break, though, Drew, can you share really quick what was shared with you yesterday? This was anonymously, but again, getting back to Ellison and his narcissism and what he really cares about.
Well, there were some questions yesterday that popped up because this news broke when Senator Amy Klobuchar tweeted that the charges were going to be increased, and that Keith Ellison would be charging the other officers. The first person to break that news was Senator Amy Klobuchar through her Twitter.
So when I saw that, I thought that she was somehow involved now.
Yeah.
Like when I saw that,
that
went,
was my assumption.
I went, whoa, Amy Klobuchar's jumping in the game here. And she's, I'm like, and then my mind went to, how does she have that power? But whatever, okay.
She's a senator.
She
sort of do what she wants,
pull
right?
Pull some strings,
you know.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, right? Amy Klobuchar needs black people to like her. They don't right now.
Right.
You know, they're very mad at her, and she wants to be vice president, and it's not helping with her girlhood dreams of being selected and appointed into a position that she didn't actually have to earn or work for. So I asked some people that would know, some friends of mine, and my question was, did Keith give Amy the opportunity to break the news so she could get a little shine off of this, so she could get a little love, and she can be part of this team that's going to put all these racist cops in jail? And they said no, Amy did that on her own. She got the information, obviously,
right,
you know, from somewhere, and she went and rushed and tweeted it out without telling anybody. And there was a phone call between some chief of staff or a staffer, I should say, from Ellison's office, and a staffer from Amy's office. And the staffer told Amy, tell your boss she doesn't get to use Keith as her black friend. He was pissed. I heard he was livid.
651-989-5855.
Eat themselves alive.
We got people on hold. Jeff O'Brien.
He's my black friend.
Jeff O'Brien will continue to take your phone calls. And I believe there is a man from Burnsville that goes by the name of Don, who is also holding. We'll get to that.
5 FM.
citizens of the Twin Cities and surrounding areas are joining together with a show of unity, healing, and hope. This Friday, June 5th at 10 p.m., all citizens are being encouraged to turn on their porch lights and car headlights in their driveways simultaneously. Let's show our neighbors and the world that we care about one another and are looking to move forward in a positive and united way.
You can listen, get caught up, and stay caught up, and never leave our side. We'll never leave you with your smart speakers at home. Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew on the iHeartRadio app. And you can always call us, as people have. We'll get to those phone calls here in a second. And our lawyer extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien, 651-989-5855. And, of course, on Facebook, you can find Twin Cities News Talk and Twitter. Use the hashtag TCNT. We were talking with Jeff about Attorney General Keith Ellison, upgraded charges against the officer who knelt on George Floyd's neck. He charged also the other three officers. And, Jeff, we'll get to the phone calls, but after we're done with the phone calls, would like to ask you briefly about the Minnesota Human Rights Department launching this probe into the Minneapolis police, just to kind of get your thoughts. But with that, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Got some people that have been holding for a while.
Dom in Maple Grove, good morning. You're on with Justice and Drew and lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for taking my call, guys. Jeff, you said the officers can't get a fair trial in Hennepin County, but my question is, can they get a fair trial anywhere in the country right now? And I'm being really sincere, without favoring one side or the other in my mind as an outsider. I just want to see, you know, justice done in the real sense of the word and not through the court of public opinion. So, and my point I want to emphasize is, if I was sympathetic to both affected parties in this trial, what cues, if any, am I looking for to be satisfied was justice was done without any prejudice? That's all I'm asking. Thank you.
Thanks, Dom.
That's so, Jeff, can you get a fair trial anywhere?
Good question. Well, here's where I think the argument, if the defense is likely going to make that Chauvin can't get a fair trial, or any of the officers can't get a fair trial in Minneapolis, is, or in Hennepin County, is the fear of retaliation. We've had some mob justice here in the last couple of days with upgraded charges and adding additional defendants. Basically, because that's what the demands were as all this other chaos was going on in Minneapolis. I think the argument is going to be made that by taking it to someplace outside of Hennepin County, where the epicenter of this was, you're going to get a jury that's actually going to look at the facts and the law versus being afraid of what would happen to their neighborhood or their community if they go the wrong way.
Well, here's a question I have, and this is something that I would like to know, and I know I don't think we have the answers right now. I'm just going to throw this out there, and Jeff, you may or may not, but I doubt you do, because this is kind of a pretty specific question. But we always use this phrase of, can they get a fair trial? What I'd like to know is, I'd like to see a breakdown of sort of high profile cases where people have argued that person did not get a fair trial, right? Either way, right? Either conviction, or a dropping of the charges. When in actuality, the trial was fair. It was more on the way that the trial was conducted that led to the certain outcome. It wasn't necessarily, like, for example, O.J. Simpson. I think we all sit back and we go, O.J. did what he did, you know, but I haven't done, you know, and that verdict should have gone a different way. But how much of that was really the way that the prosecution laid their case and wasn't strong enough to go and convict, rather than it being the trial wasn't fair because it was conducted by individuals that were sympathetic to O.J. Simpson? But like I said, I don't know if we know the answer to that. And my question is, do the added charges affect the lower charges that were initially done that you said they could still get when it comes to the death of George Floyd?
They can send all three counts to all the charges to the jury, and the jury can render a verdict on each of them. So, yes, they could convict they could find him not guilty on second degree murder, but find him guilty on third degree murder and second degree manslaughter, or he could find not guilty on the first two counts and guilty on the third. So, yeah, they can send all three counts to the jury.
Well, I guess ultimately, though, do you think that adding the tougher charge of second degree in the minds of a juror would have an impact on the juror's decision to convict on the other charges? And maybe that's a hypothetical that you don't have an answer to, but that's the question that I have.
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, there'll be jury, the judge, you know, they'll be giving jury instructions
as to what they have to, what they have to find in order to convict on each count, and they'll deliberate and decide which facts are present that would allow them to find them guilty or not guilty.
Let's go back to the phone, 651-989-5855. Don in Burnsville. Good morning. You're on with Justice and Drew and lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
Hi. Just a question, Jeff. What role, if any, does the police union play in the prosecution of these police officers?
My understanding is that the union has helped them find legal counsel. At least that was from that controversial Bob Kroll letter that was out there. It seemed to indicate that they had helped them find legal counsel. Beyond that, they have no role in this.
I mean, that's not controversial, right, Jeff? I mean, that's the role of the union, regardless.
That's what a union does.
Regardless of how egregious you think the actions of the officers in any situation, and I'm not specifically referring to the George Floyd. I mean, there's nothing remotely controversial about the president of the union helping the officers that are being charged find legal representation. Any union would do that for any employee under any circumstances. Is that accurate?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's their limited role in this whole thing.
Jeff, let's go ahead. You know what? Let's have you on again soon, and we can get in further into the Human Rights Department launching the probe against the Minneapolis Police Department. Let's plan on getting you on again soon, and we can discuss that a little bit further. But thank you so much for the time and your expertise this morning, man. We really appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Take care.